Thank you for being here. Thank you for our brother Bill. I want to thank you for those good songs. Brother Bill, I believe, is getting better every week. And I tell him that a lot because it's the truth. He does a great job. And to our visitors, once again, thank you so very much for coming our way and hope you'll come back. And for everybody else that's here and all of our members, thank you so very much for being with us. I want to talk to you this evening about a lesson that usually is given about once a year, usually in the spring, and it's called Modesty, the Vanishing Command. Now, we know just a few months ago, we all moved our clocks forward as we enter into the daylight savings time. As far as I'm concerned, that's about as sure a sign of spring that spring is here, rather. I love that extra hour of daylight, but I also like those evenings, maybe working in the yard or just playing with my great-grandchildren or taking a walk. Usually Jane and I used to, we don't too much here lately, but we used to walk almost every morning, early in the morning, and before the sun comes up and gets real hot, and daylight saving time gives us this time before it gets too hot. But brethren, there is a subject I need to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about what I consider to be the vanishing command, God's teaching concerning modesty. So let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to walk up a down escalator? Have you ever tried that? It seems like that every step you take forward, you slide back down two steps. I must admit that that is the way I feel when talking about modesty. Every year it seems that members of the Lord's church slide backward a step or two. I don't think that anyone would argue with the fact that now there are brethren who will wear things that they would not even thought of wearing 15 to 20 years ago. And they will wear some of these things to places and occasions that used to be considered sacred and special. And let me tell you something. That is not progress. That is regression. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. There we find, beginning in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now before we make any comments, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verses 1 through 5. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 5. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. But let it be hidden, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of good price. But after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. But brethren, the import of these passages is borne out in the word modest. Paul referred to modest apparel. So what does that word modest mean? Well, in order, it means orderly. It means suitable to a character or time or a place or occasion, becoming appropriate. That's what modest means. Suitable to a character of time, place, or occasion, becoming appropriate. It is true, brethren, that actions speak more loudly than do words when it comes to the matter of our convictions. It's very easy to say something, but the question is, do our actions bear out what we say? All you have to do is look around at what people are wearing to know that modesty is the vanishing command. Let it not be so narrow, though, as to think that modesty covers only the matter of clothing, because it does not. When you consider that modesty refers to something that is suitable to a character, time, place, and occasion, and that it means appropriate, then it's easy to see that modesty also must be discussed in terms of speech, and our speech and our actions. So, brethren, we need to have an open mind and accept all of the will of God. Let's talk about a couple reasons why modesty is the vanishing command. First of all, people are using the wrong patterns for their lives. We should not expect modern clothing if we are going to go by the world's pattern. I know of no one right offhand who would be pleased to let Satan design their clothes, but if we just go by the world's pattern and let the world dictate what we're going to wear, it's the same thing. Most of the styles and stores today have been designed by men and women who do not reverence God and who absolutely have no respect for His commandments. The clothes they design attest to that. Now, I know this is tough because I've gone with Jane. I've gone shopping with her some, a little bit, not as much as she'd like for me to sometime. But I've gone shopping with Jane and to try to find some spring and summer clothes, and everything was too short or too tight or too transparent. I know that it does become frustrating, but the fact that I'm frustrated doesn't make something wrong right. God designed the human body, and as its designer and creator, who better to tell us how it should be presented? Yet another reason why modesty is becoming the vanishing command is a desire to be popular or to not stand out as being different. John told us of a group of people who believed in Jesus but would not confess Him. You remember that in John 12 and verse 43? It says, "For they love the praises of men more than the praise of God." And I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. I'd like to turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, where we find these words of Paul in verse 10. Galatians 1 and verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know, it's really sad when people who ought to know better will ignore God's will simply because they feel that to follow it would make them unpopular in the world. Many prefer to do as the world, and then they don't stand out and don't have to offer any explanation as to why they're different. Brethren, nobody is going to want what we have if it doesn't appear that what we have is different from what they have. Remember who we are, seeking to please man or God. Who are we? Are we seeking to please man or God? If all of us would dress, speak, and act like Jesus is the one we are following, that would be a tremendous step, not only to strengthen ourselves, but to increase the size of this congregation. If we would all seek to please Christ and be popular with Him, then this could be the last time I would ever have to preach on modesty. Again, I know this is tough, particularly when the kids just don't understand why they can't dress and act like everybody else. Most kids don't want to be different from other kids. But it is our job to teach them that there is something much more important than to be popular. Because modesty has become the vanishing command, we are seeing all kinds of immodest dress among Christians today. Some clothing is just too short, some is too high, some is just too sheer to be worn by Christians. Tube tops, body shirts, halter tops, jogging shorts, swimming suits, just to name a few. These expose parts of the body that only the husband or the wife has the right to see, and it doesn't matter if the whole world is wearing them, it doesn't make it right. So let us also remember that modesty relates to appropriateness as well. I would be the last one in the world to make a dress code, but brethren, There is clothing in certain situations that is appropriate and clothing in certain situations that is not appropriate. Remember, the modest can be defined as suitable to a character or to a time, place, and occasion. That was the definition we gave earlier. We all recognize that. When we go to a wedding or a funeral, we dress appropriately. Men in shirts and ties, women in dresses, unless there is some pressing reason that prevents us from doing so. Let me ask you, brethren, is there a more important occasion than coming together to worship God? Is there? Nothing is more important than that. Nothing. Think about it. Over the years, people have got extremely angry with preachers about this subject. You remember when the big issue was women wearing nice pantsuits to services? Well, brethren, it isn't pantsuits anymore. You remember when preachers used to talk about men wearing ties? Well, it's not ties anymore. It's blue jeans and sweatshirts. Isn't it true that our worship to God is more important thing, the most important thing we do? It is to me. If it is, then what is appropriate? I am going to worship God in the best I have, and I would hope that you would agree with me. Again, at this time of the year, it seems there is more socializing that goes on. There's more parties. There's more recreational activities. Even more dating. We must be modest in our action, too, not just in our clothing. Young people, I want to talk to you for a moment. Warmer weather brings more time to be with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Warmer weather brings drive-ins, and that means parking. I'm trying as hard as I can to be tactful as I can. Don't engage in inappropriate actions. Don't put yourself in a situation where the temptations do such things that may overcome you. If you can't control yourself, don't go to a drive-in. Don't go parking. Don't engage in lasciviousness, which is always inappropriate. The unchaste handling of one another. So young people, keep your hands to yourselves and your thoughts pure. So brethren and friends, God has not just left us out there to flounder alone, trying to make proper decisions without any guidelines. He has given us standards by which to make wise and informal decisions. Now, we've already looked at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and which tells us not only of the need for modesty, but for the shamefacedness and also of the need for sobriety. Shamefacedness can be defined as the ability to blush, to be ashamed of how we may appear in public. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which teaches us that what we are inwardly is manifested by what we wear outwardly. Now, I think it's important, if you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and let's read a familiar verse. Most of us know this by heart. Colossians 3, verse 17. Paul wrote, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Two very good questions to ask are, would Jesus really approve of what I am wearing? And would Jesus approve of what I am doing? Another passage we need to consider is that not often discussed in connection with modesty is found in Romans, the 14th chapter. Let's look at that. Romans 14, verse 13 and verse 21. Romans 14. We're going to look first at Romans 14 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Skip down to verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbled, or is offended, or made weak." How can someone who is immodest in dress or conduct fail to be a stumbling block to someone else? If we cause someone to think evil or do evil because of our immodest dress and actions, how's it going to be with us on the day of judgment? People always say, I don't see anything wrong with it. But is it a question of not wanting to see anything wrong with it or refusing to see anything wrong with it? Believe me, on the day of judgment, all of those kinds of statements aren't going to mean a thing. Do you realize that the Bible speaks of a person being recognized by their dress? We're not going to turn there, but in Genesis, the 38th chapter, verses 14 and 15, the garments of widowhood were put off and the clothing of a harlot put on in their place. You may remember that Judah thought Tamar was a harlot because of the way she dressed. Undoubtedly, the dress caused Samson to believe the woman in Judges 16, verse 1, was a harlot. Samson thought she was a harlot because of her dress. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, yet another Tamar had on a garment of a virgin, but rent the garment when she was defiled. Brethren, how we dress says an awful lot about us, and God has told us that. If in dress or conduct any of us has denied the profession of being a Christian, we have been immodest. If we want to please God, we must dress and act accord with character that is becoming of a person who puts God first in their life. It is far better to be out of step with the world than to be out of step with God. As a matter of fact, we are to come out of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of it. Look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul told the Corinthian Christians, beginning in verse 14, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. So brethren, any time a Christian is dressed inappropriately, he sins. He sins not only because of his immodesty, but also he has become a reproach against the church. The people beholding the immodesty of the supposed Christians are not thinking of their piety or their modesty. They are thinking and saying, well, they're just like me. I see no difference in them. Do we want to appear like the world? Do we want them to have a sense of belonging because we have come down to their immodest, immoral level? Most likely what will happen, will transpire is people will see you, and then you know what they'll think when they see you? And he says he's a Christian. The Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthians in this manner. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Would he rebuke this Prairie Village church by saying it is reported commonly that there is immodesty among you? After a gospel preacher preached on a proper attire for worship, and an objector to the lesson stated to the teacher, he asked him this, he says, God doesn't look on the clothes that you wear. That's correct. He looks on the heart, on the attitude behind the choice of clothes that one wears to worship him. The objector went on to say, you don't have to wear a coat and tie to worship God. That's correct. But neither do you have to wear a tie and a coat to go to weddings or to graduations, award presentations, or funerals, or to visit the president at the White House, or to appear in a courthouse before a judge. You don't have to wear a coat and tie that, but most do. There's a reason behind the popularity of sloppiness of dress, which is characteristic of our day and time. Clothes make a statement, and our modern culture has a statement to make. Baggy pants, shirt tail out, pant cuffs frayed and filthy from dragging the pavement, ball cap on backwards, pant knees worn out, all contributed to make the statement. And let me tell you, it is a cry in opposition to order, to discipline, to modesty, respect, and self-control, which things are of God. Modern society hates God and His Word. And you know something? We truly are better off to be without worldly friends than to be influenced by them to forget a commandment of God. If any of us have forgotten God's standard of modesty, let's strive from here on to remember it and abide by it. We need as a people to set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. So my dear friend, my fear is many Christians are going to spend eternity in hell because they have succumbed to the dress of the world. I want to go to one last passage, if you would, with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. I love what Peter says here. He says in verse 9, Peter said, we are to be, verse 9, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is not only time, but it's high time, brethren. The Christians set the standard for the world instead of the world setting the standard for the church. We need to be transformed and not conformed. We resemble the world entirely too much, and any is too much. We need to clean up our minds as a forerunner to cleaning up our behavior, not the least of which is to clothe ourselves adequately, discreetly, and with all due reverence for what God would have us to do. So let Christians be not guilty of indecent exposure. Let Christians not be guilty of indecent exposures. So if you're a Christian and you've been dressing like the world and you know that you have sinned by doing this, then you need to come forward after repenting to God and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll become a faithful child of God once more. And if you're not a Christian, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If the answer is yes, then you're on your way to becoming a Christian. How do you become a Christian? You do this by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll rise up out of that water, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. If we can help anyone in any way this evening, please take advantage of this. Come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.